What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Wiregrass High School Football Report, brought to you by Digio Strategies. This is your home for all things high school football and the Wiregrass. I am your host, Philip Jordan, in-studio host and producer of Dunstanwoods Football on 96.9 The Legend and Auburn writer for Last Word on college football. On this off-season special of the Wiregrass High School Football Report, I am going to be joined by Geneva County's new head football coach, Al Gilmore. Geneva County is coming off an 0-10 season, and Coach Gilmore is looking to turn around the Bulldogs. Coach Gilmore is coming from Elba, where he has been the offensive coordinator for the last 3 years, 6 years there on staff. We all know the great offense that Elba has had over the last couple of years. Over the last 3 years, this team is averaging 43.7 points per game, and he has had other stops at Wittsburg, Houston County, Dale County, and Abbeville Christian. Over that time, Elba is 34-4. As a football team. And of course, we have heard all about Elba Hill on the show because, you know, Coach Mark Sieving has become a regular. For Geneva County, as I said, they're at the top. They are 0-10 last season. They have not made the playoffs since 2021, and their last season with a winning record was 2020 and 8-4. This is a program that has a history of winning football, and Coach Gilmore is going to look to bring that back. And you'll hear all about this in our conversation. I fully believe Geneva County has got a great one with Coach Gilmore. So it's very exciting times there for Geneva County. We'll talk about why he decided to take the Geneva County job, just how the last 2 weeks have been for him since he's taken the job. And we'll get into some X's and O's too as well with Coach. We'll talk about what to expect offensively, what to expect defensively, and many, many more things he has to say about Geneva County. We'll take a quick 1 minute break. We'll return my interview with the new head coach of Geneva County, Al Gilmore.
96.9 The Legend is your connection to classic country legend. But Digio Strategies has other options too. News Talk 103.9 is your source for America's top news and entertainment shows like Rick and Bubba in the morning, Glenn Beck from 9 till 11 a.m., and Clay Travis and Buck Sexton middays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. Sean Hannity, Lars Larson, Ben Shapiro, Matt Walsh, and others fill your day with the latest news and views from America's top conservative voices. America at Night and Coast to Coast AM keep you company and connected throughout the night. Plus, Fox News, the Alabama Radio Network, and Wiregrass Daily News keep you informed with national, international, state, and local news. And with more musical choices like All the Hits 106.7 KMX, Today's Country 95.5 WTVY, and Music 107.7, Digio Strategies gives you more choices and more variety. Listen on air, online, and on our apps. 96.9 The Legend is just the beginning.
All right, everybody, joining me on this special off-season edition of the Wiregrass High School Football Report, I'm joined by new Geneva County head coach and athletic director, Al Gilmore. And Coach Gilmore, appreciate you taking some time and talking with us today.
Man, thank you for having me, buddy. I appreciate you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. First off, congratulations on getting the job. And how's this really not even 2 weeks? How's this last week and a half been for you?
Oh man, it's been great. It's been a dream of mine since I first got into coaching to have my own team, and so the excitement level is definitely high. I mean, I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't excited. It's been about 2 weeks now, so you know the reality of the situation has kind of sunk in a little bit, and you know everybody's all my friends and my coworkers and people that I've worked with in the past, we've had a chance to catch up and celebrate, but now it's time to get to work, and you know your brain switches over to a completely different set of thought processes, and now it's okay. What can we do moving forward to change the culture, to change the things that have been done, and put us in the right direction, and you know get the kids motivated and things like that. So I've definitely had a chance to come back down to earth and get my list of what we need to do now moving forward, pointed in the right direction.
And what was it about Geneva County that really jumped out at you to take the job?
Well, you know, I came from Elba High School, and I've been at Elba now for the past 6 years, really six and a half. And, you know, that was six of the best years of my life. Nothing but wonderful things to say about that school, that coaching staff, and the people that I'm leaving behind, just friendships that I'll have forever. But, you know, Geneva County specifically, my wife graduated from there back in 2002. She was the valedictorian of her class and you know, had a lot of success there herself. And I just remember how close she was with her classmates and, you know, people that I've become friends with through the years. And, you know, I went to GW Long High School when I graduated. Long and Hartford back in those days were just, I mean, you talk about a bitter rivalry. I mean, I some of the most physical football games I can remember playing in were between GW Long and Hartford. You know, and I made friends with some of those guys, and, you know, they've lasted 20 years too. And it was one of the few spots that I felt like if it ever came open that I would have some interest in because of their tradition. Number one, I knew their tradition there. You know, I know the community. They're just like, you know, they're no different than a GW Long or anywhere else in small town America or Alabama that you're going to find there. They're good, hardcore, you know, hardworking blue collar people that want to raise a family in a good environment. And on Friday night, that, you know, they shut that place down and it's time to go watch the Bulldogs play football. And that's intriguing to me. I came from that background and I like that. And, you know, they've fallen on some hard times the past, you know, past couple of years and even really the last probably five. And, you know, I've been fortunate in my career to have worked with some head coaches that had that rebuilding mindset. And, you know, we're in this for the kids, not the wins and not how it looks on paper. And, you know, they instilled in me that workman's mentality that, hey, we're going to develop these kids. We're going to build this program. We're going to get it where it needs to be and everything else will fall into place. And that's intriguing to me. You know, I like the idea that, you know, I'm coming into a school where these kids are hungry. You know, I had my first team meeting and man, I probably had 50 kids in the auditorium. Now, are all 50 going to play? No. But if I can get, you know, 35, 40 of those 50 to remember what it feels like to have that bulldog across that chest and that they're playing for something bigger than themselves, more than they are, more than they think they can be, you know, that's what excites me. And I think it's a really good place. I think it's a place where, you know, if you blink on us, you know, we might surprise some folks.
Yeah, that was actually one of my next questions I had wrote down here is the first meeting with the team. So you already answered that one for me. And you talked about, you know, meeting with the team and turning your program around. I, you know, obviously, you know, people out there, you know or maybe not know, team was 0-10 last year. For you, taking over this program, what's like objective number one to get that turned around?
Well, like the biggest thing is going to be the mindset. I mean, you could use the word culture if you want to. I'll say it on occasion just for lack of anything better to say, but the more accurate word is going to be mindset. Is, you know, I'm just a big believer in the human mind, and I've seen it throughout my career. And I have made my name. I mean, I've made my coaching reputation, you know, for whatever that's worth, off taking kids that maybe not on paper or even looking at them, you would think, oh, man, there ain't no way this kid can do this. But then you go out there on Friday night like, man, that kid's like a dog on a bone. You know, he's just relentless. He never stops. And that's that mindset. You got to make somebody believe that they're capable of more than maybe they think they are, because in the truth and reality of it is they probably are. That hasn't been encouraged. And, you know, I look forward to that. You know, most people, buddies of mine, man, they were 0-10 and they're giving me the stats and, you know, the records from the last 3 or 4 years. And they give them, what are you doing? And I said, see, that's the problem, guys, where y'all are seeing a negative. I'm seeing a glass that's empty. I want an empty glass because, man, I can fill that glass the way I want it filled. It's, you know, I heard years ago that it's hard to fill a cup that's already full. It's hard to teach somebody that already thinks they know everything. Well, if I'm going into a situation where they're thirsty, like they've got that thirst for knowledge, that thirst for winning, that thirst for changing the mindset, changing what people perceive of them, you know, we can do some things. We can mold them into the image that best suits us at Hartford, because it's like I told them in that first meeting, guys, we can go out here and try to be all these other teams. We can try to be, you know, so-and-so over here. We can mold, we can fix our practice like so-and-so over here, and that's not going to do us any good. We have to find who we are. We have to find who Hartford is, who this football team is, and we have to be better at what we do than anybody else. And if we can do that, we can buy into it, and we can understand that it's us, then we can change this thing and we can turn some things around.
You know, a little on the X's and O's part, obviously, look, and I've been doing this for several years. I've had Coach Sieving on several years, so I know the offense that you run at Alba. So if anybody's familiar with that, is that kind of something people could expect, the style of offense you would like to run there at Geneva County?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's, you know, I grew up in the wing T offense. You know, my high school football coaches, Jimbo Payne, the late Todd Horn, you know, God rest his soul, Earl Miller, and Terry Goodson. Now, Terry Goodson's at Heriton, and, you know, Earl Miller's one of the winningest baseball coaches in the history of baseball. So I had four top-notch high school football coaches when I was coming up, and we ran the winning tee, and, you know, I always said if I ever got a chance, that's what I'm going to run. And I for years, I thought, I still do, and I'm not knocking the winning tee. I think it's, you know, starting out young coaches is the best offense you can run, because it fits your kids more than any other offense. You know, I got nothing against the spread, nothing at all. I got nothing against throwing the ball. You know, I fought this at Elba. Like, I got nothing against throwing the ball. That's fine with that. But, you know, if I can move the ball at a consistent pace, why am I going to overthink the wheel? You know, there's a guy that works with me at Elba named Johnny Dice, and, you know, I owe Johnny a lot in my career. He's given me a lot of wisdom. And, you know, when I got named offensive coordinator 3 years ago, he said, Al, he goes, you got to make the number one thing the number one thing. And it's first downs and touchdowns. He said, if you get enough first downs, the touchdowns will come. And I've never forgotten that. And, you know, that's how our offense was structured at Elba's. You know, we worried about first downs. And touchdowns just happened to kind of take care of themselves. And, you know, when Coach Sieving named me OC, he put a lot of faith in me. And what we were able to do between the two of us is we were able to kind of take, you know, single wing concepts that we got from Rick Darlington and wing T concepts that I brought to the table as far as formations and shifts and motions. And then I had even been doing a little bit of research on my own about the old Notre Dame box. And, you know, I just, those three offenses specifically kind of just blended themselves together. And then we took some passing concepts that were more modern, and, you know, they kind of worked their way into it. And, you know, this is what I tell people. It's, you know, I don't know what to call the offense that we're going to run, because it's not anyone. It's an unbalanced direct snap offense is what it is. When I come up with a cool flashy name for it, you know, I'll put it out there, and everybody can, you know, say how wonderful the name is. But it's the concept of the offense that I fell in love with. It's I tell people all the time, you know, you are truly limited by I'm limited by my own imagination in this offense. There's nothing this offense cannot do if I take the time with a pen and pencil and work it out. It's so adaptable. And to us, it's very simple. You know, I spoke at a clinic a few weeks ago, and I said, you know, it's complicatedly simple. To everybody else, it looks like 55 moving parts, but to us, it's just what we do every day. And that kind of goes back to what I said earlier about, you know, we're going to find out who we are, and we're going to be better versions of us than everybody else. And it's been good to us, and it requires a level of physicality, which I think has been lost a little bit in the game today. You know, it's it's great. I've got a lot of friends that get on me about what I run, and I'm like, well, that's fine, guys, but just remember, every time your receiver runs that 40-yard go route that you don't throw him the ball, he's got to turn around and play defense at corner, right? And guess who I'm fixing to run at all night long? You know, so there's advantages to what I do. There's advantages to what they do, and this, that, and the other. But it's like I tell people, man, that's why there's chocolate and vanilla ice cream. You know, everybody's got what they believe in, and what I believe in is tough, physical ball control and first downs and touchdowns, and that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, and, you know, it's worked. And, I mean, even because I do the studio and the hosting for the halftime for Dothan Wolves, that's what Coach Kennedy runs, you know, and you talk Darlington, yeah. You know, those two were together. So, I mean, it works. Like you said, it's an offense that does work.
I've heard Jed Kennedy out of his own mouth say, you know, we're going to play very good defense, and we just feel if we score 21 points, we're going to win more than we lose because we're going to physically impose our will. And, you know, I agree with that. I one of the things that this offense brings to the table is, you know, you're going to have to decide as a defense how you're going to defend us. And if you can, great. There have been teams that have in the past. But can you withstand that 48 minutes of us leaning on you? Because, you know, we're going to lean on you for 48 minutes. And, you know, we're going to find out kind of just how bad you really want to play football over that period of time. And he's right, Nance. It's good. It sure is.
You know, and lastly, too, on defense, what do you want out of your defense?
Two things, alignment, assignment. Now, again, we can make defense as complicated as we want to. You know, I told my principal when I was actually in my interview, I said, guys, you know, I can get up here on this whiteboard and I can draw a lot of circles and I can use a lot of, you know, I can use a lot of fancy terminology. You know, hey, three buzz. Hey, cut. You know, I can do all that. But at the end of the day, it has nothing to do with what I can do on a whiteboard or what I can say to impress anybody. It's those 15 and 17-year-old kids that in the heat of the moment have got to know, okay, we just went from twins to trips, or they just motion to trips, because motioning to trips and lining up in trips, two completely different things. It may not seem like that much, but to those kids in that moment, you know, that's four different things they may have to remember if I want to make it that complex. So to me, on defense, it's alignment and assignment. It's all right, here's the defense. Here's what I have in front of me. Here's my rule. If they choose here, all right, my rule goes to this. I'm not going to get outflanked. I'm going to play everything outside in. And you're never going to be able to get me in a spot where I'm not in position to make a play. And I just think that helps kids play faster. And on defense, what I've found over my career, the more your kids are thinking, the slower they're going to play and the more points you're going to give up. If I can give them less to think about on defense and it just becomes alignment and assignment, here's where I line up, here's my read key, now I can play defense. And that, more times than not, will make up for a lot of, you know, physical deficiencies, speed, you know, things like that. Just knowing where to line up and where to be. I've heard enough coaches on offense and defense talk, you know, sometimes just being in the right spot when you're supposed to be there can make the difference in a ball game. You know, you go watch things like, you go watch five. Heck, I'll tell you what, I won't even use five. Everybody uses five. Go watch Auburn High School. Go watch one of Scott Goolsby's defensive teams at Auburn High School. Now they've got some talent, don't get me wrong, but they are not world beaters year in and year out at Auburn High School. But consistently, they're in the top five in total defense in the state, because I've heard that man myself talk about for years, alignment and assignment, just putting them where you're supposed to be and letting them play defense. You know, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to focus on alignment and assignment, and then we're just going to play. You know, I told them day one, it's, you know, we're going to take the chains off the dogs. Chains are coming off, dogs are fixing the hunt. And that kind of goes back to that mentality. You know, we want that hunter's mentality.
Read and react. I hear coaches say that all the time, too. Just, you know, you talk about the thinking part, just read and react. Anything else, you know, before I let you go, anything else you'd like to talk about, you know, with this program, what you're looking to accomplish?
Well, I appreciate the opportunity for you to say that, but as of right now, I'm gonna say no. Like I said, I've got my expectations, and I've got what I believe, you know, we're capable of and what we can accomplish. But the number one thing is, you know, to the Hartford community, I'm grateful. I will never give you a reason to regret this chance you've given myself. I'm in the process now of hiring some coaches and getting my coaching staff together. And, you know, I give you my word, I'm doing due diligence on that. It's going to be the best staff that I can possibly assemble. And those kids are going to be coached. They're going to be loved. And, you know, when you see Hartford take the field this fall, there's going to be a level of pride, you know, back in that community that I hope that we can keep pushing forward. And I'm excited, man. Like I said, I've been waiting my whole life for this moment. I'm fired up, ready to go.
Well, we keep it up with you when it gets around football season. I do all the scores and doing this podcast. So hopefully we'll chat during the season when it comes around, or maybe even before the season. But, Coach, again, congratulations on getting a job there at Geneva County, and hope I get a chance to chat with you again sometime.
All right, buddy. I appreciate you, man. Thank you, Phillip.
Once again, thanks to Coach Gilmore for coming on this off-season special of the Wiregrass High School Football Report. And we're going to try to knock a few of these out before we get late summer when we become weekly again here on the show. But we got some other coaches, some other things I kind of want to do here on the show. So not a certain schedule, just subscribe. And this is the part where I'm going to ask you and tell you where to find the podcast. You can listen to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Just hit that follow button. It's free. Doesn't cost anything. And please leave a review, rate the show. If you leave just 4 stars, you're just a straight up hater. And if you leave a review, if I've been saying for years, I will read it on a future edition of the show. You can also check out the interviews over on my YouTube channel, the Phillip Jordan Sports YouTube channel. Hit subscribe button, hit the bell for all notifications, and please leave a comment on a video, and I'll read that on a future edition as well. You can also check out the show over at Wiregrass Daily News. I will have a link and a post over on the Wiregrass Daily News Facebook page, and you can check out the whole show over on the website as well. Remember, you can follow me on social media at PJordanSEC. You can email me at sportsoutfieldjordan@gmail.com. Talk to you guys next time. Bye-bye.